sing and hear the word of God. And yeah, we, you know, there's almost more people up here than there is out there. But anyway, we're going to start our service. If you guys want to stand or take a comfortable position in worship, we're going to sing the Lily of the Valley. So let's have some fun this morning.
This morning, say praise God.
Praise God.
Amen. It's good seeing everybody this morning. I praise the Lord for each one of you. And He is the lily of the valley. And I pray if you have not come to know Him, that today will be that day that you bow that knee and come to that relationship with the one who loves you the most. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, I do come before you and thank you for this opportunity we have to gather together in your house to open our hearts and worship you and sing and praise you. And God, I thank you for all these musicians up here on both sides of this stage that are willing to come and share the gifts you've given them to lead us in praise. I just pray this morning, God, that we just honor you in all that we say and do, whether it be in song or whether it be in a handshake, whether it be in a prayer, whatever it may be, but I pray that everything we do honors you. God, and if there is that one person that has not bowed that knee, may they truly hear your voice today. And may the rest of us then go forth with them and proclaim your gospel into this world. Father, may your will be done this morning. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. As I said, it's good to see you. It's good to be back in the church this morning. And praise God. Thank you for all your prayers. But walk around a second for just a minute. Shake somebody's hand. Give them a hug. Just tell them it's good to see them in God's house this morning.
Thank you. And again, you know.
Our scripture reading, Mercy Hearts. They've been having the trainings, and you may have been a part of the Mercy Hearts things and such. Mercy Hearts, the ministry, will be kicking off this Thursday following dinner. It'll be in here after dinner on Thursday. They also have a Facebook page, and she is asking if you would, if you could, go to the Mercy Hearts page, like it, and share that with others. What is the name of the page again, Sherry? Where's Sherry? What's the name of the page again? Just Mercy Hearts?
Mercy Hearts Sutherland Springs.
So search that and you'll find it, and she's asking to go like it and share that. Also, Fall Fest is coming up, guys. If you did not notice by the doors going outside, not the foyer doors, but the actual outside doors, there's a basket, if you will, there, a container. That's what we've been grabbing candy, putting candy in that, and then moving it to the kitchen. We are really light on candy this year. I know we got a month, and you say, oh, I got a whole month, but if we keep putting it off, then we won't have any at the end. So if you're at Walmart somewhere and you see a bag of candy, go ahead and just grab a bag, and slowly but surely we'll build it up, and we'll have candy for our Fall Fest. Also, too, more donations, or if you'd like to work with Fall Fest, if you could see Nish or Miranda or Brenda? Jenny. Oh, okay. I thought you were pointing at Brenda. I was like, I didn't know Brenda was the one. I keep getting hands pointed. So Jenny, Miranda, or Nish, and Brenda now. Get with one of them, guys, and they'll help put you to work. Today, also, immediately following the service, our safety response teams, there is a special meeting going to be after the service today. Carl Chin is here from Colorado, going to meet with us, who is a specialist in that area. So I know y'all got to see him the last couple days as well, but we're going to have a meeting immediately following the services today. So if you're on the safety response team and can stay for a little while, please do so, and that way you can meet Carl, and if you haven't already, and he's going to go over some things for us here at the church. Okay, I think that's enough announcements. David's going to have our scripture reading this morning. Hey, hey, hey.
Father God, I lift up my brother. I just pray as he brings the scripture reading to us this morning, we hear your word through him. God, thank you for his willingness to get up and sing and share and just be your man. Father, use him now. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's take a turn, my
when we got through praying up here a while ago, Frank asked me to do the scripture reading. And I, of course, accepted to do that. I have a verse in my mind that I want to preface what I'm going to read to you. Preface? It's pronounced, it looks like preface. That's phonics for you. Paul tells Timothy to be ready in season and out. And what a great opportunity to use that verse just momentarily to tell you, I like to know in advance if I'm going to do the scripture reading or any kind of reading, because I get to study and be assured of what I'm saying to you is factual and truth. But luckily, I do get to do some studying anyway. But when I was standing over here, next to Mrs. Taggart, I said, what's your favorite verse in the Bible? And she says, she actually said Matthew 6:33. And so let's run to Matthew 6:33. The Bible says, but first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. I like the second part of that, where we don't worry about tomorrow. But when he says, but first seek the kingdom of God, that is our prayer, that each and every one of us, either through revival of those that don't know God, that do know God and have kind of backed off, fallen asleep in it, backslidden, that we can be revived and we can see the goodness of God. And that's what we should seek. But then we can go evangelize after we have found that. And I just want to read it one more time. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And it says, seek the kingdom of God, not comma, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I just pray that as we meditate a little bit on those words about righteousness, that we can find a way to put ourselves in the position where God wants us to be followers of his word. Righteousness will come with that if we open our hearts and we bend to God's will and let his will do a mighty work in us. Thank you. I'd like to pray for this. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be here. I want to thank you for our Pastor Frank being here to bring the word. I lift him and his word that I know he's studied this week, Lord. I lift that whole deal up to you, Lord. And again, as that's done, I pray somebody's hearts will be opened up to your word. Somebody will that doesn't know you will come to know you, Lord. Someone will be seeking your kingdom and your righteousness. I pray for this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to get back to singing this morning. Take a comfortable position of worship, whatever that means to you. And the next three songs that we're going to sing are what I like to call heavy hitters. These are songs that you hear like the feature songs of the song set or something like that. But our group selected all of these songs, and you know, hopefully you're blessed by them. But there's some parts in the songs where we have like a solo or like just singing going on and stuff like that. Those parts aren't there for you guys to just watch us and like be amazed at our meager talent. Those are there for you guys to reflect on the words that you just sung, right? So as we're playing and as we're singing, you know, don't let your mind sort of wander off in those non-singing times. Like, reflect on the words that you just sang. How they apply to you. But anyway, we're going to sing this in here. Selfless faith.
heard it, it's pretty easy to pick up on the chorus. Just listen in. The Bible says that all that you have to do, all that man has to do, is to lift up the name of God. God himself will draw all men unto him.
Amen.
Right? So that's what the song is talking about. It says, your praise will ever be on my lips. That's all we have to do.
Your praise will
Hallelujah.
Forever be on our lips as we continually seek your face on a daily basis, Father. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Guys, let me tell you, it's a little difficult to come up here and follow that. Amen. But isn't it great that God gives us the musicians to lead us in a word of praise? And I pray that his praise will always be on our lips. That's not where that normally is. That's okay. It's staying there, I guess. Okay. Okay. No. There we go. I'll just back up. It looks like a snake looking at me the way it's falling there. That's all right. My God's bigger than any snake. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Guys, his praise should ever be on our lips. And what a fitting song, I think, for the message today. I had no clue. Being up on the mountain the last week, I did not have any kind of connection with anything. But that's what in the gist, I pray the message speaks that today, because his praise should be ever on our lips. Amen? Amen? If you have your Bibles this morning, be turning to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 9. We're also going to be looking at Matthew chapter 5 as well. But that's kind of what I wanted to speak to you guys about this morning. If you didn't know, this past week, I have been up in Montana. I was up on a mountain. In fact, our base camp was at about 7,000 feet, and we were climbing up to about 9,000 feet each day. And as I was up there, there's many things that stand out when you're up on top of a mountain. And I got to thinking about that mountain. And guys, let me tell you that when you take a fat man from 300 foot sea level and put him at 9,000 foot of sea level, it's not pretty. But the mountain was. And the things that God shown me on that mountain, and the things I saw in the clear sky, and the things around that mountain, is the message that God spoke to my heart that I felt as though I was supposed to share with you guys this morning. And one of the things that I would present throughout the message, I hope the theme of this message is exactly what we just sang about. His praise should always be on our lips. Even in when I'm not on the mountaintop, even in the midst of the trials, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the financial difficulties, in the midst of the relational difficulties, in the midst of my unsureties, in the midst of my inadequacies, in the midst of my insecurities, in the midst of whatever it may be that Satan is trying to bring me down with, his praise should be on our lips. Amen?
Amen.
And as long as his praise is what is on our lips, then we are going to be reminded that in the midst of all the trials and circumstances, that I have a God who is bigger than whatever it is around me. As long as his praise is on my lips, I am going to be in unity with him in prayer. Because in the midst of trials and adversity, the number one thing that I can do is not seek self. It's not to look at my own intellect or education. It is not to look at my capabilities. The best thing that I can do is that I must decrease, because at that point he will increase. And as I am praising him, that problem looks really small at that point. That's what we should be doing on a daily basis. And that's kind of what God showed me on top of that mountain. In Luke chapter 9, I want to look at a mountaintop experience. And I want us to look at a few things, and we'll come back to this later on in the morning. But look at this right now. In Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 28. About 8 days after these words, he took along Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his death, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and those with him were in a deep sleep, and when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who were standing with him. As the two men were departing from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he had said. While he was saying this, a cloud appeared and overshadowed them. They became afraid as they entered the cloud. And then a voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, the chosen one. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, only Jesus was found. They kept silent in those days, told no one of what they had seen. Guys, it is a mystical experience if you're on top of a mountain and the cloud
comes down. The top of the mountains are in the clouds. And one of those days I was up there when that cloud came down, and you're in the midst of this cloud. And I couldn't help but this verse kind of crossed my mind. How incredible it must have been. And then even more so, to hear the voice of God speak down at that moment. I think we still, if we will attune our ears to this, as we have sang about just now, to who Christ is, we can hear Him speak into our hearts. We can hear Him in so many different ways. The mountain in this story right here can also be taken as symbolic for the Christian. When we are on that mountaintop with God, when we are seeing Christ on that mountain, it speaks to us of the place and the characteristics of prayer in the life of a believer. When we are truly in prayer with the Lord, I don't care how many feet above sea level you are on the mountaintop with Christ. When you seek out and in prayer the face of God, He is going to speak to us. In the Gospels alone, this message, this story, is mentioned three times, both in Luke, Matthew 17, and also Mark chapter 9. And then we also can go back to the Old Testament. We can see when Moses was in Exodus, the story of Moses when he was holding up the rod. And as he held up the rod on top of the mountain, as long as he held up the rod of God on top of the mountain, Joshua was winning the battles. In other words, as long as Moses was praying for that battle, as long as Moses was connected with God, Joshua was going to win down there. Every one of us believers, everyone who knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, needs to understand that there is meaning and purpose on the mountains in our lives. That when we are on that mountain, when we are truly seeking out the face of God, He is then right then giving us and divulging into us His purpose, His meaning, His grace, His mercy. It happens when we get on that mountaintop and say, "Oh, Father God." That is why it's so imperative that at all times we strive to maintain that spirit and attitude of prayer. Folks, when it's when we lose that spirit and attitude of prayer that Satan is able to get his gouges in. It's when we forget and walk away from that spirit and attitude of prayer. It's when we start to not remember the mountain that Satan is able to come and start to defeat us. It's on that mountain that prayer is birthed, and on that mountain our life is energized. When we are on the mountain of prayer, when we are standing on that prayer and we have that attitude of prayer, when we are seeking God's face, that's when you and I can be energized. And we must be energized from time to time. Guys, David said it just this morning. I know he says it on Thursdays. If you only go and connect with God for an hour on Sunday morning, you're going to burn up during the week. We should search and seek out that mountaintop experience, not just because we have great musicians, not just because I'm sharing a message with you. That great mountaintop experience can be a daily affair when you seek out in prayer and with an attitude of prayer the face of God. Amen. And when we climb up on that mountain, that's right, Barry, when we climb up on that mountain and we seek the face of God, glory to God, He is going to empower you, He is going to indwell you, and you may even start saying, "Oh, I'm turning charismatic because I feel God all over me." Why? Not because something special happened, but because God loves us enough that when we call out His name, when we say Abba Father, when we start seeking His face and His direction, we are all of a sudden on that mountaintop of transfiguration. We are feeling the presence of God, and God's not going to turn His back. He's going to say, "My son, my daughter, my child, I'm here." It's on top of that mountain that we can experience power and joy. I don't care what the world says is going on around us. You know, you can listen to CNN and Fox and all the others and get into politics and all that stuff, but if you was to get into God, you're going to get excited. Amen. And you're going to have power and you're going to have joy, and the world's going to say, "Oh, it's all going to this and that. It's all going downhill. It's terrible. It's horrible." And you can sit with a smile and say, "Yeah, but my God says." It's okay to be on that mountaintop. There are folks who say, "Well, I just don't want to always be bright and sunshiny because there's people with hurts and pains." We all have hurts and pains. Praise God that we can be sunshine in the midst of the rain because of the Shekinah glory of God that shines out from us. And that comes when we climb on that mountaintop through prayer and through an attitude of prayer saying, "God, here I am." It is on that mountain of prayer, guys, that our heart is able to seek out God and receive the ability to see things from God's perspective. When we are on that mountaintop in prayer, all those problems that you could see before, you know, when I was sitting on top of that mountain, things looked very tiny. Some of the rocks that I had to climb over and around that seemed insurmountable from the top of the mountain looked like pebbles. They looked like nothing. When we are on the top of that spiritual mountain up there, when we are standing there in power from God, the prayer perspective from the mountain, we can look at the issues and the problems in our lives and say, man, that really isn't much. When I am looking at it from God's perspective, it's like that can be overcome fairly easily. When we are prayed up and excited about our walk with God on a daily basis, we truly are seeking Him, the problems that Satan throws at us to try to defeat us, that tries to trip us up, when Satan throws these things out in front of us, if I am on that spiritual mountaintop in prayer, if I have sought out the face of God that morning or that hour or maybe right then, if I am in connection with God, not just last Sunday, but today, right now, if I am on that mountaintop with God, Satan can throw his stuff out there, and I'm going to look down from the mountaintop and say, "There ain't nothing to my God. My God's bigger than that. Is that all you have? Because my God's going to defeat it." It's when we allow ourselves to come down from that mountain and do so in a matter of prayer. I'm not saying we're not to go down and share with others. We're going to get to that. But I'm saying when we just allow ourselves not to be in that attitude of prayer, when we think it's only on Sunday morning, when we allow ourselves to be beaten up and pulled down and torn down, that's when Satan makes advances. That's when Satan's darts start to land. And the more his darts start to land on us, the harder it is to get back up that mountain. And that's why we must stay there. If we will just keep in an attitude of prayer, if we will stay, people say, well, I go to camp and I get that camp high. How can I keep that camp high? It's not about the camp high. You saw Jesus there. You saw Jesus that Sunday morning. You saw Jesus at that concert that you went to. But the great thing is, God wasn't in just the camp. He wasn't just there on Sunday morning. He wasn't just there at the concert. God can be there every day if you'll take your attitude off of those things and put it on Him and say, Father, here I am. Yeah. On top of that physical mountain, when I was sitting up there, I was invigorated. I was able to pray and just say, thank you, Jesus. When I looked out at everything around me, and that took me to a spiritual mountain, I was reminded of how God is both God high and low. That my God created the creek, the river that was down at the bottom, but He also created the clouds that I'm up here amongst. That my God is God beyond the solar system and into the core of this earth. My God is real. And He is my Lord. I was reminded that He chose, the creator of all things, still chose this one little bald-headed fat guy on the mountain. And I was just in awe. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. You know, one of the things I noticed up there when I was on that mountain is the air is so clean. You're sitting up there and I'm kind of gasping for air, so I had a lot of it coming in. But it was clean. It was pure. It was just like, wow. And it made me think again to that spiritual mountain. Here I was sitting on top of this mountain, just breathing in this air. And I thought, on our spiritual mountain, when I am on top of that spiritual mountain, here on this physical one, I'm above the smog. I'm above the pollutants. I'm above all the agitates, you know, the pollen, the mold, the ragweed. I'm above all that stuff. None of that stuff's bothering me. But it's the same thing on our spiritual mountain. When we are high on God's mountain, when I am standing at the precipice of God's pinnacle, when I am at the very top of that mountain, all those little things that irritate me, all those things, those little irritants that try to steal our peace, sister so-and-so that likes to go and gossip, or brother so-and-so that likes to nitpick and tell you how you should and how you shouldn't do this, that, and the other, all the little things of the world and snippets on the news and all these little things that try to just really take away and steal your peace, they don't exist anymore. You're breathing the clear, clean air of Christ. I'm not saying they went away. When I was on top of that mountain, ragweed didn't go away. Allergens didn't go away, but you're above them. When we are on the top of our spiritual mountain and sister so-and-so wants to tell you how to do everything, or brother so-and-so wants to tell you what's wrong and what's not, you can still stand with your head held high because you are in connection with the Lord Almighty. And you can look down and say, I'm above this. The air of my God is cleaner than the air of those that are not of my God.
Amen.
And I was as I was on that mountain, I was just like, thank you, Jesus. I'm above all the gossip. I'm above all the worries of life. I can clearly see that God is in control. When I'm on top of that mountain, I'm reminded it's not about Frank. It's not about what I can control or what I can handle. It's not about how I can direct this situation or that situation. It's not how I can go and start this procedure or that procedure or manipulate this set of circumstances and that set of circumstances. When I am on that top of that mountain, when I realize and recognize that I have a relationship and I'm being transfigured by the spirituality of an almighty God, it is then I am reminded, God's in control. Let her gossip. God's got it. God's going to take care of it. Let him do this. Let her do that. Let this situation go this way. Let that situation go that. I just need to be what God has called me to be, and he's in control.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We get above ourselves. We get above who we think we are. You know, we are our worst enemies sometimes. We get puffed up and prideful and arrogant. When I am on the top of that mountain, I can humbly bow to God's authority and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Also, I noticed on that mountain, guys, it is incredibly quiet. One of the hotels we stopped in coming home the next morning, Pat said, did you get any sleep? There was a train every 10 minutes. Somehow, Pat slept through all of them. I heard all of them. But you know, when I was up on that mountain, not a sound. Incredibly quiet. You know, we think we hear crickets and bugs. Nope, there's one little clicker bug thing. I guess he's the only one that exists up there or something. Oh, no, I had flies. But other than that, very, very quiet. Incredible peace. Just quiet like you wouldn't believe. And I thought, man, it's up here that I can tune my ears to the Master's voice. And I did. I took my Bible in my backpack, and I opened my Bible, and I'm up there praying. It's almost like with all that quiet, you can just hear the Word of God. You can hear the analogies. You can hear the allegories. You can hear the stories that God is using to speak directly to you when you're on top of that mountain. But when I got to thinking about it, it's the same thing spiritually. When I get on the top of that mountain in prayer, when I open my heart and my ears to what God has to say, if I am truly tuning out the world and seeking His face in my quiet time, I can hear what it is that He would have me to do. I can hear that He has a relationship with me. I can hear that He cares about me and that He loves me. I can hear that it isn't all about the things that's going on around me. It's about my relationship with Him and doing what it is He has Himself has called me to do. When I am in that relationship with Him, I hear His voice. And here's the neat thing, guys. As I am in that quiet time, and when I am on top of that mountain, and I am in that quiet time with God, and I hear His voice, the great thing is the more accustomed to His voice I get, the more I stay on the top of that mountain and hear His voice spoken down to me, the more I realize who He is, then I can hear Him in the busy routines of life as well. The more I acknowledge His voice in the quiet time and recognize what it is, the more I can hear it in the clatter of the crowd that when I'm not on the mountain. The more I recognize whom He is that's calling me, the easier it is to hear Him when I'm in the midst of the battle down at the bottom. When we truly seek out that mountaintop experience, God is there. And we grow that much closer to Him so we can hear Him in the midst of battle as well. My sheep hear my voice, He said. In the midst of everything, He said, my people will hear me. They will know me. We can hear His voice. I didn't give Morgan any pictures that I took. But guys, when I was on top, it was actually called Mount Elmo, is the mountain I was on top of. In the Crazies Mountains, of course, that's the ones I'd go to, right? But when I was up on top Mount Elmo, it was incredible. I had the quiet. I had the clean air. But the other thing that was astounding was I could see forever. It was brutal getting to the top. But when you get to the very precipice of that mountain and you're skylighted to everything, you look down, you can see. Nothing could sneak up on me from a distance. Now, maybe from my mountain, but from a distance, nothing can sneak up on me. From our spiritual mountain, as I sat there and I thought about how I can see the lands and mountains forever all the way around me. Same thing spiritually. When I'm on that spiritual mountain, I believe that God gives us snapshots of destiny. He can tell us what's coming and what's about to transpire. He can tell us this is the things that's going to happen in your life. I believe that God has got those pictures out there for you and I. If we will stay with Him in prayer, we'll hear when what it is He would have us to do. We will hear about the glory on the other side of heaven. We will hear that though the world may be calling and trying to bring us down and tear us down, that I have a hope in glory. When I am on that spiritual mountaintop, the world may be trying to pull me down with all it has, but what I'm going to see is the glory of God. I'm going to see that in that third realm, if you will. I'm going to see the new Jerusalem. I am going to know that my God has gone and made for me a mansion built of hands, not of this world, so that when He comes again, I will be in His presence for eternity. When I am on that spiritual mountaintop, the world can yell, the world can scream, the bill collectors can come, but yet my heart, my mind, and my soul will know that regardless of what happens on earth, my spirit will live for eternity in glory. That comes, amen, that comes from knowing who your God is. It comes from knowing that you are daily in an attitude of prayer, daily seeking out the one who loves you the most, daily saying, Father God, here I am. God took Moses on top of the mountain and He said, look out there. Even though he didn't get to go in, he still got to see where God was heading them. He still got to see where God was leading them. He still got to see that God had a plan. When we are not on that mountain of prayer, we may lose sight of where God is. We may lose sight that God has a plan. We may lose sight that God has orchestrated so many things in our lives. But as long as I'm there, I may not understand how we're going to do it. He may show me things that's unimaginable. But I know He is because He gave me that picture. That comes from that mountaintop experience. That comes from being on that mountain. And folks, I'm going to say too, that when you're on top of the mountain of God, when you're on that spiritual mountain, remember God has given us a job to do. And He also told us that there is going to be spiritual battles that transpire. I believe it's on top of that spiritual mountain is where we are filled with the grace, where our armor is conditioned, where we are given the implements that are needed to go out and fight the battle for Christ. Jesus knew that there was going to be battles, but He also knew that the battles were not between flesh and blood, but that the battles were spiritual battles. The mature believer, listen to me now, guys, the mature believer in here this morning will recognize that our battles is not with flesh and blood. It's not with what we can see. It's not with what we can hear. It's not with what we can have a sense of feel about. It is with principalities and powers. It's with rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Our battle is not between each other or even the lost of the world. Our battle is with the principalities of evil. And the only way we're going to win that battle is to be indwelt by the power of an almighty God. Amen. And it's when we're on the top of that spiritual mountain that we are getting that sword given unto us, that we are getting the understanding of this sword. No matter what movie you've watched, if you've watched any hero action type movie, they have to train. That swordsman that comes and wins the day went through all that training to become that master hero swordsman. It is the same thing spiritually. It's when we are in the presence of God that He is training us up in the way that we should go. He is indwelling us and infilling us and giving us the Holy Spirit. And the more we draw close unto Him, the closer we're going to be what He has us to be. The closer He has us to what He would have us to be, the more Satan's going to run from our presence. Because he knows that one's been with God. I'd rather go to that one that hasn't. That one's been training. I want to pick off the easy fruit first. The more we draw unto God, the more we emanate God. The more God goes through us. And folks, the more we stand in His presence, the more we allow that prayer to enter into who we are, the higher we are lifted into that spiritual realm. The more we're indwelt with who He is, and we can go forth and we can conduct spiritual warfare, not because of who Frank is, not because we are in a Baptist church, but because I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that one day every knee will bow, including every demon and Satan himself. And because I have stood in His presence, been trained by by Him, empowered by Him, indwelled by Him, I can go forth and say, I have been on the mountain with the King. There's nothing you can do to harm me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. On the mountain of prayer, guys, we connect with God's plan. Just as, go back to the passage of Scripture we read. Just as Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus, we see him on the mountaintop there, and everything is going well. He is connecting with these prophets, the law and the prophets. He is becoming one with them. So many people have been determined that, well, it's got to be either Jesus or the law and the prophets, that they oppose each other. No, what God was showing us there is how everything fits together, how they work together for His glory. We had Jesus with Moses. We had Jesus with Elijah. And together, they became what we know now today as a salvation for you and I. They brought everything to fruition so that we can walk together in glory with God. Look at Matthew. In Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, starting verse 14. It says, you, this is speaking to you and I now. This is red letter. This is Jesus speaking to us. You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand. And it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Folks, when we have been on that mountain, when we have been where God has called us to be, we are going to be filled with the light of God. We're going to have the Shekinah glory of God upon us and within us, and we are to take that light out into the world. It says there's a city on a hill. In other words, they're stationary, stable, visible from a distance. Everybody congregated together. Many lights in unity. Hallelujah. But it also says a candle on a candlestick in that story. In other words, that is portable. That light is movable. That light can go forth and be carried into the darkness. We, once we've been on that mountaintop, are to go forth and fight the spiritual battles. We are to understand, just as Jesus connected with Moses and Elijah, and God spoke down and said, this is the one, this is my sanctified Son who has came for you. We are to take that message and take the light that it gives us and then go into the world as well. In Acts chapter 20, verse 8, it says, and there were many lights in the upper chamber, and where they were gathered in unity. If you don't know the story, you can go back and read it later, but there was a young man named Eutychus. Eutychus fell from the third story window, and he fell out of the window while Paul was preaching. He was teaching. It was getting late into the evening, and Paul's teaching. This young man falls asleep. Here's all the lights in unity, but he falls asleep out the window, hits the street, and he's dead. So there was light in the upper chamber, but darkness in the street. He's down there. He's dead. Life in the upper chamber, but death in the street. Peace and joy in the upper chamber where Paul was at. But there was sorrow and mourning and despair down in the street. But you know what happens? Paul takes the light of God that's there with unity. He leaves the lights and goes down. And he goes to that one that's down there in the street, this dead young man. It says he falls upon him and his life is returned unto him. What we discover here is that there was light in the heavens, darkness on that street. But when you take one of those who has the light down to those who are dark on the street, life comes back into them. And guys, hallelujah. And what I'm trying to say this morning is we need that mountaintop experience. It is a place of preparation for the work in the valley. It's a place where we receive God so that we can impart it to others. Paul knew. Paul had the glory. The lights were congregated there. But he wasn't just going to stay there where it was safe. He said, I'm going to go down and save Eutychus. I'm going to take the light of God down into that dark world. I'm going to take the light of God down to where they are dead. And I'm going to go lay it upon him because I've been on this mountaintop. Because I know the power of God. Because I know what he can do. And Eutychus comes back to life. We cannot expect the dead to climb up three stories to receive life. Paul understood that dead man can't come back up here. But I sure can go back down there. And take the power of God to him. Folks, we have been called sometimes. We need to be on the mountaintop. Hallelujah. But with that, we are not called to stay in those comfortable surroundings. We are not called to stay in that environment. We are not called to stay just right there where it's great and do nothing. He says, take the light into the darkness. Jesus came down from heaven. Jesus came down from glory. He left light. He left the peace. He left the joy. And he come down here into this world of sin, this world of sickness, this world of darkness, this world of sorrow, this world of disease, this world of death. And he said, I bring light. Paul went down and he fell on that young man. Light left the upper room and came down into the darkness of midnight. Life came looking for the dead. Remember the woman who lost the coin? She, what did it say? It says she went and lit a candle and she searched all over for the coin. And once she found the coin, what did she do? She called up all her neighbors to rejoice with her because the one was found. In Luke chapter 15, verse 10, if you don't have that highlighted in your Bible, I pray that you will go back and highlight this verse. Maybe it might be one you want to memorize. But it says, likewise, I say unto you that there is joy in the presence of the angels of heaven when that one sinner comes into the presence of God. There is joy in heaven when one comes into the presence of God. We should thank God for the mountaintop. We should thank God that we have the capability and the opportunity to stand on the mountain in prayer and say, here I am, Lord God. But we also must have the reality that on the mountaintop is the presence of God, and He tells us to take that presence down to the bottom as well. Christians, here's where I think we mess up oftentimes. And if you heard nothing else I said, I pray that you hear this right now. We tend to adopt a mountaintop mentality. We adopt this mountaintop attitude. In other words, we want to stay where it's safe. We want to stay where it's comfortable, a controlled environment, surrounded by other people just like ourselves. We want to stay in this position where everything is just right, many lights in the upper chamber. Peter said when he looked up at the mountain, he saw Elijah and Moses and Jesus. Peter said, oh, this is good. Let's just build three tabernacles. Peter was saying, it's good to be here. We have no problems. We have no worries. We got the prophets. We got Moses. We got Jesus. We got everything right here. It is wonderful. It's heavenly. It's controlled. Let's just build three tabernacles and not go back down there. He spoke out of turn. What Peter spoke foolishly, what he spoke selfishly, what he spoke fearfully maybe, unfortunately, has become the normal for so many churches today. We build our churches, we build our denominations, we do all this. We come and we praise and we sing and we worship and we fellowship and we climb up on that mountain and we think, now I have to stay here. But that's not why we came to the mountain, guys. We come to the mountain in an attitude of prayer to be rejoiced, but to go back down to the dead as well. To go back down into the darkness and share as well. The mountain was not, when Jesus was standing there with Elijah and Moses, he didn't go up there so he could escape the people. That's not why Jesus was on that mountain. That's not why there was a transfiguration. He was there so he could get better equipped and prepared to minister to them. He was there to be filled with what God the Father would have him to hear so he could go down and become the sacrifice for you and I, that he could go down and become our propitiation, that he could go down and become the one to intercede for us. He was on that mountain. He was having a mountaintop experience, not so that he could hide from us, but that he could come and serve us. Folks, God has given us mountaintop experiences, not so that we can congregate together and hide from society, but that every one of us can then go out and change society. Save it from a death and darkened world. Save it and bring it back so that they too can have that mountaintop experience. I'm afraid we have forgotten why God has given us this mountain. We have come so that God can bless us, but that we can take that blessing on. We come to stand in His presence, to bask in His glory, to thank Him and do as Moses did. Bring the glory back down. When Moses came down off the mountain, if you remember, he shined with the glory of God. He didn't stay up on the mountain. He didn't leave it up on the mountain. He brought the glory of God down with him. The glory shone on his face. We should be on those mountaintop experiences every day so that the world can say, man, there's just something different about Frank. There's something different about David. There's something different about Shane. Something different about Barry. There's something different about Stormy. We all know that. But there's something different about this person or that person. Amen. And it's they have the Shekinah glory of God upon them. Guys, that's what the mountaintop does. Amen. When we get on that spiritual mountain and take in the glory of God and realize I am above the agitates of this world. I am in the clear air and quiet where I can hear my Father speak. I can hear His voice so well that I'll recognize it amongst the clamor of life. I'll recognize it amongst the clatter of people. I'll recognize it amongst the darts. I will be so spiritually tuned to what He would have me to be and say that I can go forth and fight the spiritual battles, because it's not between Frank and so-and-so. It's between the good and evil. And my God has already won that fight. I can take that glory, that prominence of knowing who I am in Christ, and go down three stories to that man that's dead on the street, lay upon him and let the power of God come upon them and let God change their heart, not because of who I am, but because of who He is. Hallelujah. Folks, it is wonderful to have a mountaintop experience. There are people who feel ashamed. I get so excited and then I feel bad because I'm so excited. No, praise God you're excited. Amen. Go and share it with somebody else and do it every day. Don't wait till Sunday. Praise God, we have an incredible praise team. And while we were singing, I can only imagine, I almost wanted to just jump up and down as I was singing. Hallelujah. But you know what? As awesome as they are, as much as I love our praise team, I should be able to get just excited on Tuesday morning opening my Bible. Right, and say, thank you, Jesus. Right. And go forth and proclaim His name. Now, I do have people, situations that try to steal that joy. Try to steal that peace, and sometimes it seems overbearing. And if I haven't been on the mountaintop, you know what happens? I might fall down. Luckily, praise God, I haven't fallen out that third story window, because my God has His hand on me. Amen. And I can look back up and say, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. And He may dust me off, say, now boy, get back out there and do what I told you to do. Folks, mountaintop experience is awesome. You can't have it if you don't know who Christ is. You may think you've gotten excited at a Spurs game or something. You may have got excited when how badly Alabama beat A&M. Where's Pat? There he is. You might get excited at a sporting event of some sort, but that's not excited like what my God can give you. And the only way you can have that is if you accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Amen. If you're here this morning, or in the sound of my voice, or sound of anywhere that's preaching the gospel, Jesus Christ came, He lived, and He died to fulfill the conditions so that you can have eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, and all have sinned, all of us, and fallen short of the glory of God. And there is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. But Jesus came and knew no sin, yet still chose to shed His blood for you and I. And He said, whomsoever believes that I am the Son of God, that I rose on the third day, defeating death, hell, and the grave, so shall they be saved. If you're here this morning, you don't know Christ, you don't know what a true mountaintop experience is. Oh, Pastor, you don't know how great it was when I said I do at the altar with my lovely spouse. That may have been a great opportunity, praise God. But I would even say, compared to that, it's nothing when you come to the relationship with Jesus Christ. For the angels in heaven rejoice when one comes to know Him. If you're here this morning, you do know Christ, and you have been on that mountaintop before, and you know what I'm talking about here, then I'm going to exclaim to you, if you will, go and share that experience. Go and tell others. The more you seek that mountaintop, the more you'll be able to share it. The more you'll be able to share it, the more people will come to the saving grace. Well, Pastor, nobody ever comes to knowledge through my testimony. You don't know that. You may walk away and the very next person speaks to them, they just grab and say, please tell me how to get to Jesus, like that guy that told me yesterday. You never know. But the more you seek out the face of God, the more you're on that attitude of prayer, the more you're on the mountaintop with Christ, the more it's going to shine from you, and the more people are going to see it around you. And before, you may not even know, you may not have even spoken a word, and people are saying, I want the grace that that gentleman has. I want the grace that that lady has. I want the mercy that they have shown. I want these things that they have. And where do I get them? They keep talking about God. They keep talking about Christ. I'm going to go to church next week. You may not know any of this is happening, but they go to a church and God gets a hold of them, and they walk that aisle and they get saved and they become the next great evangelist. Because you chose to walk on that mountaintop one day and just let the Shekinah glory of God shine throughout. Amen. That's what we've been called to do. Right. Many think that there's only a mountaintop experience on Sunday. It's only at camp. It's only here. It's only there. All we need do is look up and say, Father God, here am I. Here am I. Send me. And watch what God can do. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He's calling to you. And I expect that. I have a feeling you know it. You feel it. Oh, Pastor, I've been in church all my life. Or I've been in so many educational classes. I know what this is, and I know the manipulations. You can give all the excuses you want. You hear God. And you can only turn your back so long. And you either need to choose Him, or you've chosen not. It's your decision. If you're here this morning and you don't know Him, I pray that you will get on your knees today. Right where you're at, you can come to this altar, but I pray that you will find where He is in your life. If you do know Him, let's start seeking that mountaintop every day. Don't just wait on Thursday for David. Don't just wait for Sunday for the praise team or myself to help lead you there. You've got Monday through Wednesday to go. Why not seek Him every morning, every afternoon,
Amen.
Every evening? And if you can, pray all day long. People say, man, that he's talking to himself. It's better that you're talking to yourself about God than just talking to yourself. Seek His face, guys.
Amen.
Seek His direction. Seek His glory. Get back on that mountain. The air is clear. You can see forever. You're spiritually in tune for that warfare. And your problems seem small. Why? Because you're caught up in a big God. And He loves you. Let's all stand. I want to lead us in a word of prayer this morning. If God is moving in your life, I pray that you will listen, that you will heed His voice, that you will hear Him. Step out and be what He's called you to be today. Do what God's calling you to do. In Jesus' name. Father God, I just come before you this morning. I thank you for my family. I thank you for my church family. I thank you for my beautiful wife, who I was missing all week. But I miss you most of all. I thank you most of all, Lord God, for your grace and your mercy and your power. That I can walk from this place the man you called me to be, not because of who I am, but because of who you are. And I pray that each one of us in here that knows you as their Lord and their Savior will put aside the petty indifferences. We'll put aside the negativity. Put aside the worries and concerns that Satan is using to tear down our spiritual aptitude, to tear down the works that you have in store for us. I pray that we each one will get back on that mountaintop and realize all the things that Satan has used to take our eyes off of you are just things. I pray, Lord God, that we will focus on that shining star, that Prince of Peace, on your glory. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to be your emissaries into a dark and dying world in this time where it's most preciously needed. May we have our mountaintop with you, God, and may we stay there as we go forth and proclaim your gospel. Father, may your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing this morning, if God's telling you to come down, I'd love to pray with you. David's over there. You can pray with David. If you want to walk across an aisle and pray with a brother or sister, you may want to pray right where you're at. But let's commit ourselves to being what God has called us to be and get back on that mountaintop this morning as we sing, Chris.
Hear my humble cry.
be in God's house this morning. Say amen. Give him a clap. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Guys, God's mountaintop is there all the time. Nothing's going to tear it down. It's just a matter of whether you want to climb up there to it or not. Amen? Amen. Make that choice. Make that decision. It's easy. All you got to do is get on your knees and say, Father, here I am. And give him that time. Well, we'll make time to watch a football game or whatever it is you may make time for. But let's make time for Jesus. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. It's good seeing everybody this morning. Praise the Lord for each one of you. Thank you for your prayers. Had a great week this past week. I will say I came in fairly close proximity to three bears. That was a little interesting, but my God was there. And I felt as though that I could outrun the bear if I had to. No. I was hoping he did once. Amen. Seriously, it's good seeing everybody this morning. Glad to be home. Guys, go out from here today. It's SRT team. We have a meeting right after the service. But the rest of you guys, if you're going to lunch, going home, going to visit your folks, whatever it may be, take Jesus with you. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. It's good seeing everybody this morning. Praise the Lord for each one of you. Brother David, will you close us in prayer this morning, brother?
Always you.